1 Corinthians 4. I'm going to speak this morning here on not many fathers, not many fathers. This message here will be blessing not just our men that are fathers here, but also even our singles, our women here, those that are married, those that will be married. And God's got a word, I believe, for each one of us today. I saw this story here some time ago where a young man was actually found in the country, taking and just feverishly taking and trying to unload some spilt hay in the middle of a path, bales of hay there, just working full blast, sweat pouring off his body, pouring down his brow. And a stranger kind of comes along there. He's driving by, and he stops and sees the young man working so hard. And he says, "Young man, go ahead, let's come aside for a moment here. Get some rest here. I've got some lemonade. I got something to drink here. Get you a drink. Get refreshed here. Take a little break here." The young man would not hear about that. He kept right on working, 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 sweat pouring down his face. And this man says, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "Come on, take a break, take a rest." He said, "Well, my dad would not appreciate that." He goes, "What kind of dad do you have?" He says, "To make a son like this slave in the hot sun for hours and hours with no rest. Get some rest, son." I said, I want to see your dad right now. Where's your dad at? Take me to your dad. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind." He goes, "Well, help me out. He's under the hay right now." And so sometimes you don't understand that dads are under the hay, and dads are going through times themselves. They need ministry in their own lives. Amen. We're talking here this morning here and now about believers in the place called the city of Corinth. And realize, whenever Paul the Apostle, who wrote half the New Testament, talks there, he either gives letters to churches or he gives letters to pastors. When you see there the names of people, it's to pastors like Timothy or Philemon. When you see names there of cities like Corinth or Ephesus, we know their letter there is going to people that are actually over an entire city. Now, back in these days, they only had one major local church in every city, being again established by apostles, because Paul was an apostle. And apostles, again, are those that are pioneers, are those who establish churches and those that plant things. But also apostles, the Bible said, are those who move in signs, wonders, and miracles. So we don't want to just find apostles doing planting churches only. They also move out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I found that apostles can do almost all of the fivefold ministry to some extent in their lives. But in this church called Corinth that Paul helped to establish years ago, he's found that this is a city here now that's full of opulence, it's full of wealth. The people there are very, very intelligent, very educated people. They're also folks that are very, very immoral in their culture. Very much like many Americans perhaps may even be today in this own country we see today called America. And so they're facing things in the church here of immorality. They're seeing schisms, divisions take place in churches. They're finding that pride and arrogance is rising up more and more in the congregations. So Paul comes here to bring correction to this church called the Church at Corinth of Spirit-filled believers who need some balance placed back into their lives today. This here also talks about us, not just as Americans, but also as fathers who are Christians and believers, because Father's Day can actually be the most painful day for many folks in our country now today, because over 34% of our nation's population is actually being raised with no fathers in their household. The number is even higher for minorities, up to 65% of all minority households in America have no father in their house raising their children. And so we're seeing there's been a very, very, very strong backlash from this. And the Bible tells us things will take place sometimes of a negative nature even when fathers are absent in families being raised even in godly homes, unless God brings forth some solutions as God can bring forth. And we're going to see some things today here, not just about problems, but also about solutions that God has for us by His own wisdom, by His own word, and by His own spirit for fatherless families as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting here in verse 14, Paul the Apostle says, "I do not write these things to shame you," these things of correction, these things of rebuke perhaps, "not to shame you, but as my beloved children," notice that he's a father talking to children, "I am warning you. For though you have 10,000 instructors and teachers in Jesus Christ, yet you do not have very many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." So I'm a father to you is what he's saying. "And therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will also remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." What he's saying here to them in a nutshell is, the problems you guys are going through in the church of Corinth of divisions and schisms and immorality and so forth is because you don't have many fathers in your congregation. If you had more of a father's anointing and more of a father's advice and a father's love, These problems would not even probably be existing in your church right now today. So I'm going to send you as a remedy my Father's heart through my disciple whose name is Timothy to instill in you and give to you a Father's heart once again in your congregation. In the old days, again, way back a long time ago, when we had lines on our phones and we only had one or two phones in the house, and you had party lines, you had folks could not talk for a long time on telephones, we had long distance service that cost about $15,000 a minute to be on the telephone in the old days. And then finally, as the years go by and the dinosaur age kind of passes, we find the first cell phones come out, and I couldn't afford one of those first cell phones. The first cell phones were in suitcases. And those things were in a big old heavy 15-20 pound suitcase in your car. You'd take and you'd crack your window open a little bit there, put a wire out your window with a magnet on top of that antenna there, put it on top of your car, and boy, you're really cool now because you can make telephone calls in your car at getting about $50 a minute. And so here's your car, your thing's cracked up in there, the snow's coming in, the water's coming in, the rain's coming in, the ants are coming in, the heat's coming in, but you're cool because you have a wire going out of your window because you got a cell phone. And now as all the time has gone by and man's advanced in so many ways in technology, of course, all of us now have got cell phones in our possession. And because of that, we would think we're now people of more relationship than ever. But the fact is, of course, because of social media, it seems like it's getting less and less and less of an art to relate to our fellow man, because we're seeing screens and we're seeing numbers and we're seeing letters and we're seeing OMG and so forth and so on, but we're not always seeing people's faces before us. You guys have seen yourselves in restaurants across our city, couples and families in front of iPhones and screens the entire meal, not saying two words to each other, texting, calling, Facebooking, even across the table there, what do you want, honey, you know, to eat there. It's kind of back and forth. It seems getting that bad, it seems like, in our culture here. God is, again, a God of face-to-face relationships. Amen? That's why God says in his own spiritual realm through his own prophet, his name was Job, Job in the Old Testament. It says, Job said, I've known and seen your hand, your iPhone, but now I see your face. Because I now see your face, I now love you with an everlasting love. Fathers need to realize that they also are people in their families of relationship. And even though, again, all families appreciate the hard work, the paychecks, the benefits, the house, the food, the clothing, they also need to have the touch, the face, the FaceTime, the talking, the encouraging, the time of ministry there to be a father in the household of relationship, not just of provision. Amen? A few folks believe that also. Sing amen here. We think that we're more connected now than ever, but the fact is we're becoming less and less connected in our society as time is going by because of our technological advances. They're not making stronger families. They're not making less counseling sessions. They're not making stronger marriages. We're finding things are kind of going backwards more than forward, except for in the church of Jesus Christ by those that are being instructed by fathers to have a father's heart. That goes for single women as well in the families. They have a heart given to them of a father that can bless their children in a way that God anoints and God blesses as he does. Amen. And so here, I'm going along here again. For many of us, this day again is a painful day where things either did not happen or things did happen to cause great pain and great angst inside your own heart and your soul, either by abusive fathers or by abusive father figures or by absentee fathers, absentee father figures that cause pain and turmoil in your life. A pastor I heard talking several years ago, he said that in his large megachurch in Colorado Springs years ago, they had a large prison ministry. And they decided to go ahead one year and give out free Mother's Day cards to give to the prisoners to give out to their mothers on Mother's Day. When they did that, it was a great, tremendous hit. All the Mother's Day cards were gone in a matter of minutes because the prisoners loved their mothers, wanted to give cards to their mothers there and show their appreciation to their mothers. All the cards disappeared very, very, very quickly. Father's Day comes around. The next month is June, of course, like today. They do the same thing for the prisoners for the Father's Day cards. Not one card was taken for the fathers on Father's Day. It shows here in our prisons some of the root reasons, perhaps, of why we have so many prisoners in our prisons today. The hearts of fathers sometimes are absent or they've been abusive and they've caused sometimes pain in people's lives, and it brings forth things of a fruit that's not always good in their lives as well. It's the enemy's desire to destroy a relationship that is for your growth and for your good, which is what the father relationship really is all about. God ordained fathers to bring growth, to bring good things and blessings to your life. When those things are absent, it brings in things sometimes of a curse and things that are also negative inside our lives, perhaps, unless God's people and God's Spirit fills in those gaps and hedges, again, the way that God can do by His own wisdom, His own grace, His own power, and His own Spirit. The enemy, devil himself, cannot stop God's blessings and decrees decreed upon our lives, but he can try to stop the process by which the blessings come to us. You see, Satan knows and Satan realizes God ordained men and God ordained fathers to play a part in families, that if it's not being played out and not being worked out, not being realized, it can bring great turmoil to the very foundations of a nation, of a society, and of a people who serve the Lord their God. So Satan, being very wise and very crafty, will try to annihilate the process of blessing that would come to a city, a nation, or a family, or a people, by trying to wipe out that relationship of a father to their children in a righteous and godly way. Now, I'm going to give you guys some very, very positive things about fathering, but I'm going to first of all take us through some valleys that may be kind of hard to swallow in some ways as far as stats are concerned in a moment. One thing that came to me very strongly by God's Spirit on Friday as I was putting these things down again, I hadn't seen it before in the Bible, but it was very, very powerful to me at least. I thought about Esau and Jacob being the sons, again, of Isaac. And we all know the story there, how the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And it says because, of course, Jacob was a deceiver and a guy that was actually a manipulator there and actually got the birthright from Esau as the firstborn, it says Esau hated Jacob, wanted to kill him, wanted to murder him. And his mother Rebekah says, run for your life, get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you as fast as he can. So the Bible says Jacob runs off to a foreign land and goes for many, many years away from his father, his brother named Esau. But the Bible says Jacob the father loved Esau. And we find now in Genesis chapter 33, I saw this for the first time Friday. Whenever Jacob comes back after many years, he thinks that Esau is going to still be hating him, wanting to kill him and take his life. But the Bible says Esau embraced Jacob, kissed Jacob, hugged Jacob, and began to want to bless Jacob and his family. I want to ask you a question. Why was that? What changed the heart of Esau in those years from murder, hatred, revenge, and death to embracing, kissing, loving, and actually being blessed himself with livestock and goods and finances? I submit that it might have been his own father, Jacob, who talked to him, ministered to him, loved him, and was dear to him, that turned Esau's heart back around. So when he saw Jacob, it wasn't about revenge and death. It was about loving, forgiving, hugging, kissing, and saying, be blessed, my brother. There's room for both of us in this land. Amen? Do you see that? So it seems how a father can somehow, some way, take the most vile person, it seems like, in their own iniquities there, and help God turn things around for them, unlike many folks can in families, even sometimes in churches. But I want to say to you guys again, fathers have got a power over their children like nobody else has got. They can either help to make their children or break their children. We're going to see here some stats now. They're again, like, these are like the valleys of the shadow of death type stats. They may seem kind of negative, kind of harsh. We're going to see, though, the blessing that God gives us in these stats, through these stats, to turn things around as daddy can do. All of us today have got a daddy story about how our dads might have put a wound inside of our heart, either small or big. We might even be battling with today many, many years beyond that wound of years ago. Because when fathers say things and fathers do things, it seems to carry more weight than even mothers have. I know myself, I was very, very blessed to have a farm dad who did not belittle me, did not cut me down, tried to encourage me all he could. He was always a blessing in my life. He was very, very silent, very quiet in many ways, but also in many ways he was very supportive, very loyal, very trustworthy, made sure there was always food on the table, made sure he always had a job, and showed us his love in a nonverbal way many times, but in a very, very acting way and very physical way as well, by being there for us as a dad. But I also remember back when I was only about 6 years old, this is 50 years ago, only one little nick took place in my heart by my dad. We was there in the farmhouse having our normal Friday night card game night with Leon Montgomery and his wife and the Tiptons and so forth, playing cards and roller skating downstairs and smoke everywhere. This is our typical farm Friday night there in Newtown, Missouri. And my dad wanted to show me off to the people there that night. He said, "Michael, come here." He called me up from downstairs in the basement. He said, spell for them rhinoceros." I said, "Okay, R-H-I-N-O-C-E-R-O-S. "Okay, spell hippopotamus, H-I-P-P-O-P-O-T-A-M-U-S. He goes, "Look at that. He may not look too smart, but him sure can smell good." And so, that is kind of, I appreciated being shown off, and I had an intelligence there to spell words at age six, hippos and rhinos, but it kind of hit me up in the heart there. He may not look too smart, but he sure can spell good. And back in those days, I was about the size of a toothpick. I had teeth that were clear out to here. I had ears out to here. I had bowl cut haircuts. I mean, I understand what I looked like, and I understand you probably was right about that, because they dressed me, they cut my hair. It was their fault. They fed me, okay? But I'm saying that isn't it amazing now that 50 years has gone by, and I can still remember the words my dad spoke all the decades that have gone by. I didn't go and cry and bawl and go in depression and need Valium for the next 5 or 6 months from that happening to me. But I can say that fathers' words they say seem to have more gravity and can put wounds inside of our hearts stronger than what mothers, uncles, and aunts seem to be able to do for us in their words and their actions. Amen? Let's see some stats here now. First of all, these are children that are raised in fatherless homes, things they found by research about them. They say they are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. They are 8 times more likely to go to prison. They are 9 times more likely to drop out of high school. They are 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substance. They are 20 times more likely to have behavioral problems. They are 20 times more likely to become rapists. They are 2 times more likely to run away from home. They are 33 times more likely to be seriously abused. And they are 73 times more likely to be fatally abused in their lifetimes. These are folks that are raised in fatherless households. Now, beyond this, there's been entire states that have done research also on families that are raised where the father is not being present in those families. These are secular state stats, things they've seen by research by thousands of people across their entire state. These guys have found that in fatherless homes, that 90% of the children or people become 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 85% of all children with behavioral disorders, again, come from these homes with no fathers. They found that 80% of all their rapists in their prisons come from homes with no fathers. They found that 75% of all youth patients in chemical dependency centers and programs come from homes with no fathers. And 71% of pregnant teenagers come from homes with no fathers. And 71% of high school dropouts come from homes with no fathers. Now, last stats here, daughters of fatherless homes. These are daughters only, not men, but young ladies. 53% of daughters with no fathers are more likely to marry as a teenager. 92% are more likely to divorce if they get married. And then 164% of them are more likely to be a single person most of their lives. Those who are daughters of fatherless homes. Excuse me, I'm gonna cough a second. These stats are negative stats. They're going through the valleys of the shadow of death type stats, but the good news is God can take all the things the world and man and the devil has thrown at us and turn those things upside down and bring redemption from that as only He can do. Amen? The good news is every problem we face, God has a solution for every problem we face in this life. So again, let's read what God's word says here. I'm going to give you guys 3 take-home points this morning to write some things down in your notes here for your bulletins as well. I want to say there's a process that takes time that God is faithful with, and this process, when it's followed, will bring, I guarantee you, God will bring healing to your lives. If you're raised in a fatherless family or you're a single mother as well, God, through a process, will bring redemptive things to your kids. They are not bound for a curse. They are not bound to have all bad things take place in their lives. And these stats will not be true of them. If you follow God's words, God's process, God's principles, and listen very carefully this morning as well, write some things down. Perhaps you grandfathers, you fathers, you father figures, these are all things to be looking at, thinking about, and putting in action also for your life. Number one process here to see these things turn upside down against the powers of darkness, these stats I just read to you guys. Number one, allow God to heal the father wound. Allow God to heal the father wound. The man named John Eldridge wrote a very popular book that's called Wild at Heart. This book shows why young men like to throw things, break things, tear up things, get real loud, have four-wheel drive pickups, have motorcycles, dirt bikes, do things that get dirty, rough, and loud, because God has made them to be conquerors, have dominion, have action, and do things here that sometimes can drive girls crazy around them. Amen? But God's telling us also, we're wild at heart because God's made us more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. It's not a bad thing, but what God is saying to us is we sometimes try and suppress our young men so much they feel guilty and condemned for being young men. John Eldridge says we must find a way to not take and crush or break that man spirit that God placed inside of them to conquer, to be on top, to be in control, to be a more than a conqueror type person, but at the same time also not let them be rebellious and do things of a very vile, very violent nature also in their lives. He's found here in his writings, his book says here, I found that when there's a father wound in someone's heart or life, the person tends to become either a poser, a fake type person, or an actor in their lives. They tend to go to one of two realms. Either be very, very passive in life or be very, very aggressive in life as an actor and a poser in their lives from that father wound. They become either like Archie Bunker was. Back in the old days, they had a show called All in the Family where Archie Bunker had the meathead next to him all the time, his son-in-law, and he always had to be right, be dominant, be loud, be vile, always trying to curse and swear with his cigar in his mouth. He said, it's my way or the highway. That's a very, very aggressive, very, very A-type, personality-type person there. And God says that's one extreme to have as a poser or actor. But the other extreme also is be very, very passive in life and take no control, no authority, have no say, and kind of lay back and watch TV and be on the couch all the time and be a non-active, non-participant in your family's lifestyle. That's also the other extreme in the life of a father. And God says a father wound can cause that to be either too passive or be too aggressive and not find a balance taking place in your life at all. God wants that balance for us. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says this. He says, confess your trespasses, your sins to each other and pray for each other, one another, that you may be healed. I want to say this morning, you are only as sick as your secrets. You're only as sick as your secrets. What God is saying to us is, we are here in the family of God to hopefully bear one another's burdens, the Bible says, and so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. And it says we receive healing not just from God, but by confessing things one to another in our lives, in our hearts, and those we know also in this life. Amen? Notice it says here, pray one for another. It's good to have others in the body we can go to, we can trust in, we can pray with and talk to about things that God reveals to us that might be hurts and wounds and bruises in our lives that God desires and God wants to heal in our lives. I want to also say at this point here as a pastor, I encourage some of you guys who can, try to be here sometimes even more so on Wednesday night services. On Wednesday nights, we get done right at about 8:30 almost every single Wednesday night, and folks will stay here sometimes for 5, 10, 15, and 20 minutes and beyond just fellowshipping, just being friends, just being together. It's not about just what Pastor Mike teaches on Wednesday night to be here. It's about us, the body of Christ, coming together and relating one to another and being friends together, having what's called koinonia fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Because God brings healing and blessings to the body of Christ by joining together, coming together in Jesus' name. Amen? So I encourage you guys, find some small group of activities here in the church. Come to Wednesday nights when you can. Take some folks out to lunch. Get to know people in the congregation They'll be a blessing in your life like you can't imagine, to help bring healing to you also in your life. Amen. Number two, second point here is find a father and also be a father. Find a father and be a father. I mentioned myself, my mother died when I was 10 years old. God was so merciful and God was so kind, He put me in a local church where there were mother figures all around me. They'd invite me over to lunches, to dinners. Their friends became their sons and became my friends. And I spent a lot of time with godly, Christian, mature women who made up the gap in many, many ways of my lost mother in my life. I've seen God does the same thing for folks who also lose their fathers. God has ways to put people in the midst of other fathers around them to make up the gap and hedge in their life, the void left there by an absent father in their lives. Let's read what the Bible says. Psalm 68, verse 5. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 says this. God's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the lonely or the solitary or those alone, notice this, in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry and a thirsty land. What God is saying here is, this is a family. Tree of Life Church is a family. We're a family. God sets the solitary, the lonely, the fatherless in families. And those that are not wanting to find themselves bound up or in a dry place must find themselves plugged into families like this, that God may use people around you to build up the hedge, to fill in the gaps, and bring forth even sometimes healing and restoration where there's been pain and misery in your life. I know also there's father figures beyond your own natural father. You guys have sometimes mentors you respect so much, principals, coaches. In me, it's ministry people as well. Cheryl and I had a wedding ceremony done back in 1981, 33 years ago, by a man named Larry Lee. And Larry Lee at that time was our pastor at Rockwall Church, Rockwall, Texas, called Church on the Rock. This guy was a father figure to us, took us through marriage counseling, encouraged us in rock seminars, evangelistic type services there, helped us go through incorporation, was always an encouraging word, had an encouraging word for us in a prophetic sense all the time we ever met with him. And so all these years go by, we find ourselves in South Africa as missionaries being sent out by his church. We finally came back here in 1990, 4 or 5 years had gone by. I'd not spent over 5 minutes in all these 5, 6, 7 years with Larry Lee in my life. When I came back from South Africa, I began to realize that God promoted that man so much, Larry Lee. He was busy all the time. He was now heading up Oral Roberts University. He had a church of 8,000 people. He was on a national TV show across our entire country doing great crusades and great big auditoriums. The guy had almost no time with anybody at all in his life. I felt sad. I felt almost depressed. I was in a dry and thirsty land because my father could not be touched, could not be reached, had no time for me whatsoever. But God is good. And what God did is one night I fell asleep, feeling very, very discouraged about not being able to talk to Larry Lee at all. God gave me a dream where Larry Lee shows up in the dream and sits down and talks to me for about 10, 15, or 20 minutes in the dream. It was as real as if he actually had been right there in my room that day. I'm saying God is so good that God has got ways to fill up the gaps that are in our lives from father figures being absent or not being there for us. Amen? The good news also is, we planted a Church on the Rock church in Kansas, and Larry Lee actually came to our church and spoke there on a Wednesday night about 2 years into that, and we spent hours and hours with him and his wife there on that trip. So also beyond that as well, God is good, and God brought things there. So I'm saying to you guys again, God has ways to make sure father figures come into your life and will not disappoint you, but God will make up the gap even for you himself if he needs to bring blessings to our lives. Amen? Last of all, number three, we must relate to God as our Father. This is a big one right here. I found the foundation of all relationships is your perspective of who God is. When you start seeing God in a wrong light, religious light, a hard light, a mean light, a judging light, all your foundations upon this earth are shaky and crumbling because God's not like that. God's a God of love, compassion, mercy, relationships. God is near us, not far from us. God is for us, not against us. God is better than you think he is. God is wiser than we know. God has more love than you can fathom in your own mind. God is always with us. He's never against us. And God's a blessing, not a curse in our lives. Amen. My greatest passion as your pastor is to motivate you guys and realize in ministry, I don't care about so much numbers and members and applause and legacies for myself. What I care about is revealing God to you guys as He really is. I want you to see God. I want to reveal God to you folks the way I know God really is in the universe, in this earth, and in my life as well, and for your life. That's my motivation. That's my passion as your pastor. Amen? All the numbers and things and stuff don't make a hill of beans. It matters that you folks have God revealed through us in this place on an ongoing basis. Amen? I want you to think now also, another thing came to me very strong here on Friday, putting this together, about the Lord's Prayer. How's the Lord's Prayer begin? It begins with what? Our Father. So God says, Jesus Christ says, when you pray, say, first of all, number one, our Father. It's very, very important. Our Father. Know Him as Father. Then the dilemma comes. Next, the problem. The next words say what? Who is in heaven? Now, if I tell you folks today, my dad's in heaven, what's that mean? It means he's dead. If I say my mom's in heaven, what's that mean? My mom is dead. Our Father who is in heaven. Is God dead? No, but He's in heaven. Well, then it goes on and gives a clue to that, the solution to that, the answer to that. Hallowed, blessed, set apart be thy name. What that means there is God is so big and God is so vast and God is so multifaceted that not one word can actually explain or describe who God is by His name. That's why God, first of all, says that my name is I Am. And I Am means I'll be all things you need me to be in all situations in your life. But also, God reveals Himself throughout the Bible in multifaceted ways with the name Jehovah blank something else. And so how can God be Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness, if He's far away from me? How can God be Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord my sanctifier, who sets me apart for divine purpose, if God is far, far away, doesn't even know my name? How can God be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, if God is distant, uncaring, unkind, and doesn't know me? How can God be Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who is my shepherd, if God is far from me, has no smell of sheep on His body or His life whatsoever? How can God be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, my healer, if God can't touch me, be near me, and set me free from all of my sickness, all my disease, and all my infirmities? How can God be Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace, unless the peace of God is already in me and on me all the time? All the names of God, hallowed be thy name, tell you and I, God is near us, and God is not far away. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, God is not against us, God is all around us, God loves us. And our Father, who art in heaven, blessed, hallowed, set apart be thy name. One young boy said, I know what God's name is. God's name is Art. Our Father, who art in heaven. You'll catch that around dinner time or lunch time, some of you folks. The Lord's Prayer reveals to us God is a God who's near us, with us, for us, a God of relationships. That's why God took Adam every day, Adam, and walked with him in the cool of the day and talked with him, spent time with him, and said, I am the God of relationships, and I want you near me every day. Let me ask you a question. Did you tell God today, Happy Father's Day? If you did not do that, I encourage you to make it a habit from this day on. Every Father's Day, the first thing we do, when you wake up, say, God, Happy Father's Day. I love you. You're my God, my Father, my Lord, my King. Happy Father's Day, God. James 1:17 says this, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning at all in His life. What it means here, what it's saying to us is, God doesn't change. Earthly fathers may change, people may change, friendships may change, things may change, nations may change, but the Bible says God never changes. If God loved Adam 6,000 years ago, God loves us in the year 2014 as much today as he loved Adam back then. Because God never changes. When God made mankind, what did God say? It is good. I like it. That means God will always like it. God will always love us. We can rebel against God, get mad at God, do sinful things against God as nations, but God still loves us. And God makes ways to draw us back to himself. God works out things redemptively for us. God is always trying to work out ways to bring men to salvation, not to drive them away and curse them and judge them and do bad things to them. We serve a loving God who's ever with us, for us, in us, and with us every day. As James comes back to the platform to help me out here at the close of this service, I want to say today, in the parable of the talents, where we talk about the three men that had the talents given to them, it says that one young man that had only one talent, the Bible says he buried his talent. The master comes back, the master is a type of God the Father, and says, "Where's my talent?" And he says, "I buried your talent because I found that you are a hard man." The Bible says, you take and you reap where you have not sown, and you gather where you have not scattered seed. You're a hard man. Many of us sometimes can see God the Father in that way. God's a hard man, trying to always find ways to judge us. What's wrong with us? What you doing that's sinful? Always seeing things that are problems in our lives. God's not like that. God's a God of love and compassion. As you heard this man speak here last week, Pastor Mike Hammonds, who got saved in our rock seminars a long time ago. One reason we saw God's convicting power come on people like Mike Hammond during the seminars was the Holy Spirit told me at the very beginning, don't judge or condemn anybody in your services with how bad or evil they are. Just expose what Satan is doing behind the scenes here, and then give them scriptures and truth and love. And I'll do the work myself to draw them to repentance and salvation. And we saw hundreds of people come to Christ, like Mike Hammond also did, by God's convicting work coming on them during truth and light and love being exposed to them in rock seminars. And what God is saying to us is you can't draw folks to Christ by vinegar. You don't draw bees by having sour things. You draw bees and flies by honey and sweetness and syrup and all things that are good tasting and good smelling. Amen? The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. And I praise God that God's going to draw people at your workplace, your neighborhoods, by your own love, compassion, mercy, and father's heart towards them also. Even though you're a female, you can have God's father's anointing flowing through you at your workplace. Let's bow our head and close our eyes now for a moment. I'm speaking right now also to single mothers today that have no fathers in their household. And once you realize that what God says, that in my kingdom, when God says to us, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as your will is done in heaven. In heaven, we all hear the parable, or not the parable, the truth time and again that says there's no cancer in heaven. So God says there should not be cancer on the earth. Amen. But also the Bible says there's no male nor female in heaven. So what God says on the earth, I can totally circumvent male and female as far as what they don't do for their children, I can do. By my spirit, my grace, my love, my wisdom, saith the Lord. So all you here that are single mothers as well, do not be under guilt or condemnation or fear or worry about your children's future. But realize that God says, when my kingdom comes, I will circumvent natural things around you. And I'll bring to your children and stepchildren father figures and father hearts. And I'll even minister through the mothers, the heart of a father the way only I can do, says God. And also, I'll bring forth to you mentors. I'll bring forth divine coincidences. I'll bring forth families of local churches like this to help build up the hedge and make up the gap, says God. So God is saying to us again, just like in heaven, again, there's no male nor female. God says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What God is saying is, I can circumvent genders and lack of fathers, lack of mothers. And though there might be pressures, there might be some turmoils that will still take place in the natural type realm, God will still bring forth handfuls of blessings on purpose and bring forth solutions and bring forth answers as only he can bring. I want us all in this congregation now to stand to our feet, please. All of us, let's all stand up. I want to pray, first of all, for all the fathers that are here today. Oh, and all the fathers, if you would, to help me out, just raise one hand to God. If you do that, please, all the fathers. Let's pray here as fathers for God's help, God's grace, God's blessings throughout this entire life and year. And Father, we thank you, O God, this day for the fathers whose hands are raised up to you this day. What they're saying is, I surrender, O God, my life to you all over this day. I know I need your help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. I need eyes of the Spirit in my head, in my heart, that I may see my children the way you do, that I may see my grandchildren the way that you do, that I may see also church members around me, brothers in the body of Christ, sisters in the body of Christ, the way that you do. Help me, O God, to be a better father, a steadfast father, a loving father, a wise father, a providing father, a comforting father, a there father, and a father of agape, unconditional love, Father. I praise you, God, that you make up the hedge around these men. We declare no weapon formed against them prospers. No power of darkness unravels what you want to do in their lives, O God. But I say, strengthen them, Father God. Encourage them, O Lord. Let honor, God, come to our fathers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, fathers, you can put your hands down. I want all the single mothers that are here, put one hand toward God if you do that, please. All single mothers in this congregation, just raise one hand to God right now. Father, you see these hands. And Lord, we know that your word, O God, is true that says you set the solitary in families. You make up, O God, the hedge and gaps that may be there, O God, by natural or even supernatural or soulish circumstances. But Father God, we know that again, that nothing is too hard for you. We pray together, Lord, as a congregation, say we bless these mothers. We say they shall find themselves in peace. They shall find themselves in provision. They shall find themselves in wisdom. They shall find themselves raising godly children. And all these negative stats we read today, those are weapons trying to be formed against their children. We say those weapons have no power. They have no effect. They will not come to pass. Those are wrong prophecies in the name of Jesus. May truth shatter every lie, and may light dispel every bit of darkness, and may, Father God, people come around their children and around these mothers to be a blessing, Father God, to their lives, to build up the hedge, to stand in the gap, and be those, O God, that are mentors and father figures and blessings, O God, to them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As I'm thinking right now again and praying here, I know right now in specific, there's still one more mother in our congregation, a single mother here. She says she only has 2 more weeks to find a place to live in the Pflugerville, Austin area. And so if you again know a place that you can think of that would be of a good price, it would be a good place for her to think about and research here. I know she's told us before on Wednesday nights about this, but Jamie's here. Jamie is the one that sings on the platform. Try to approach her. Try to get with her because they've got 2 more weeks now to find a place to live with her and her children as well. That's one need right here in our congregation. We can stand in the gap, build up the hedge in a practical way, and help this family out as well. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to believe God here again for a great Father's Day for all you fathers, all you grandfathers as well. And may God give us continued wisdom and ability to rise above cultural negative things around us to try to undermine fathers and say, I will follow the plans of God, the ways of God, the kingdom of God, and I will not let the culture in a negative way tear me down in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Let Shannon go ahead, if you would please, and get the microphone. You can dismiss us in prayer here today. If you ever need someone to pray for you about a wound, a hurt, a bruise from fathers or anybody else, you can approach Shannon. You can approach Cheryl, myself, the prayer partners here. We will take time to pray with you in specific, one-on-one. Get with you behind the scenes as well here and believe God that God heals and binds up the brokenhearted and God sets captives free. Amen. We're always available for you guys for that as well. Be aware of that and know that you always can talk to us and get with us. We'll pray for you about that as well. If you can come back Wednesday night, I'm going to do my third session here on the book of 1 John, the book of love and relationships on this coming Wednesday. So please come back if you can Wednesday night and for friendship's sake as well, be here. And may God bless your Father's Day. You guys have time, again, to beat the Baptists, and so you're doing well this morning here. If you're going to restaurants, and may you have a great family time together in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. Thank you that you know our hearts. You know what's in our minds. Father, I'm asking for as we leave today and we have time with our fathers and with our brothers and with the husbands, and Father, I just thank you for a spirit of reconciliation being loosed into family situations, Lord, that may need healing. I'm asking you for a grace and an anointing for a great day. Let this be a day of remembrance, Father, of what the Lord has done in our lives and a day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. So I thank you for an anointing of joy. I thank you for rejoicing as we leave, and we just bless you and praise you and thank you so much for all you do for us in Jesus' name.